thank you so much for calling.
You're more than welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well, and you seem to be doing incredibly well. I love what you're doing, the return of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, with this amazing multimedia electronic gizmo stuff.
You know, due to technology, we can bring back the dead, as they say, you know, and it's been a great pleasure and privilege for me to be able to do this for Greg and Keith. I mean, they would have loved this. This is what we were all about. We were always on the cutting edge of technology. So this was one way of using them on film, playing the best and looking the best they ever looked, rather than using holograms. And I was very fortunate to have this DVD, which was recorded at the Royal Albert Hall. It was a five-camera shoot. It was over two nights. The audio track was recorded separately, which meant that I could wipe all the drums away and remix it with Greg and Keith, put them on separate screens, and I could play with them in situ. So very, very happy. The DVD was actually released, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, at the Royal Albert Hall. It was released on Sanctuary. And what happened was, the reason why you probably don't know too much about it, was that Sanctuary sold out within about 3 weeks of the release of this DVD to Universal. And I think worldwide it might have sold something like between 10 and 12,000 copies. I haven't got the exact number, but it's very low. At the time, we were just, you know, mad with anger because, you know, we'd lost a great piece of work. But right now, it's worked in our favor. So I'm putting the show out, Return of Emerson, Lake and Palmer. And it's with the blessing of the Emerson family and with the Lake family. So we're all in this together, and we're ready to roll again in July.
You've done this show a couple times already. What has been the response?
So we've done it, in actual fact, I've done it 10 times. I did it last November, and it was basically put together as a one-off because it is very costly with all the various cameras and the various people I have to carry to do all the switching because there's three screens. There's one each side of the stage, about 12:8, and then there's one downstage, about 16:8, something like that. So we show vintage footage on that downstage film. Each side of the stage, it's Greg and Keith, or it's me. It depends how it goes. There's roughly seven songs we all play together as a band, as the original ELP. And it's been accepted, like, really, really well. I mean, the testimonials have got were phenomenal. And it was like December, just before Christmas, we decided, hey, we'll do this again, and, you know, we'll try and improve on it. And I've got Paul and Simon with me from my band. Also, they're on stage playing. We play stuff as a band, like Tarkus and Hoedown and other pieces of ELP. And then when Keith and Greg are ready to play, it's the three of us. And Paul and Simon have got some supportive parts, which they put in just to fatten it up a bit. But it's all remixed anyway, because, as I said, everything was on different tracks. So for me, it's been quite an experience. And it's genuine. It's a genuine approach. You know, this footage is Keith of Keith and Greg, of them at their very best, you know, at the top of their game. So, you know, I feel honored to have been, I've got the actual privilege to be able to use this and present it. So we'll play in July. We'll play again back in America in November. We've already booked Japan. And we'll take it around the world.
I just absolutely love this. And I've just read some of the reviews from some people and actually, you know, seen what they've said. And they feel like it's one of the best concerts they've ever been through. That says everything, doesn't it?
I'm very grateful for them saying that. You know, all I can tell you is that just from the editing point of view, because it was a five-camera shoot, I had like between 8 and 11 weeks of editing. And I did it all here. I was in London and I did it remotely with my editor up in Buffalo, upstate New York. And it just took a long time, really, to get the very best. Look, I'll be very honest with you. This is not IMAX quality. You know, this is not IMAX quality. I use the highest grade pixel count screens. I think they're called Showglow. That you can get. They're the very best. There's like about nearly $200,000 worth of screens up there. But as I said, it's not IMAX. It was mid-90s, so some of it at times is a little bit too bright. Some of it is a little bit grainy. Some of it's a bit too red because we had a lot of sort of red light in one particular number called Paper Blood. And there's a couple of things there which, you know, we're still trying to improve. Overall, the atmosphere that it creates, I mean, you kind of overlook anything like
sure.
that. It's just overall sentiment really drives the point home. So in all, yeah, I'm extremely happy. And I spent the last couple of weeks actually looking at how could I ever do this again, or is this just a one-time show, you know? And there are possibilities to bring other stuff in. I'm still researching it, still experimenting, but I think I might be able to do this. You know, this will take about 3 years to go around the world, but I could actually bring out another show using Keith and Greg on film. I just need to check the quality. I'm still in the homework sort of stages at the moment. There's things like pictures at an exhibition, you know, which I could use. And I just need to look at it. I need time to look at it. Right now, I'm just moving into a rehearsing sort of on my own, getting ready to rehearse with the guys to put the show out in July. But obviously, I've got to think of the future and just see where we can take this. Because I think other people will follow this. I think this will be something that people will hope they've got in their closet. But sure, not everybody had a five-camera shoot over 2 days and the audio was recorded separately. That's where the trick is. Hmm. If the audio is recorded separately, so Keith and Greg, I can actually remix on the night when you come to see it, and I can mix my live drums in, like in situ. So audio-wise, you're listening to the real band, you know. You see those two guys on film, the very best they were ever, at the top of their game. So it's as close as you can get to the real thing.
Well, Carl, one thing, you guys were always cutting edge. You were, I think some people would consider you one of the godfathers of progressive rock, and anybody who loves that genre, Emerson, Lake and Palmer is right at the top. And to be able to see this, especially maybe a new generation who never got a chance to see Emerson, Lake and Palmer, I'll bet they're going to just be blown away by it.
Yeah, well, we do. I mean, there are some sizzle reels. I don't know if you got the actual sizzle reel with some of the testimonials on, mm-hmm. but around about the sixth or seventh concert I did in November, I had one of my crew go up and ask people what they thought. And, you know, the response was just, you know, just overwhelming, to be honest with you. And there's one of the people they asked, you know, what do you think of the show this evening? It was a young couple. They must have been mid-20s, and they'd been told about this by their, I don't know, by their father or probably their grandfather, you know?
Right.
And they were just said, yeah, we had to come and see it. We were told we have to go and see it. And they were knocked out. So who knows? It might just cross that timeline and go to another generation, which we're hoping it does, you know? So fingers crossed, and we'll just keep doing it.
I just have one other question that's a little bit off topic on this. Why the heck aren't you in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? What the heck is wrong with those people?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not too sure, you know, whatever goes on there. It's a very, very, to be honest with you, Gary, it's a very, very strange situation. Without trying to sound like big-headed or anything like that, the fact we're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is okay with me, because I think the American public already have put us in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame by buying our product over the last 40 years, still coming to my concerts. I think when you're judged by four or five guys who sit round a desk and say who's going to go in and who's not, I don't really consider that serious. The public being able to vote for a group or an individual to go into the Hall of Fame, I would consider that, you know, serious, and that is really, that's where it should be. The way it is at the moment is not something that I really agree with, and I know Keith and Greg felt pretty much the same, that it seems odd that the general public don't get a say on who goes in. And from my point of view, music is to be shared, fame is to be shared, and if you've got a certain amount of notoriety, then, you know, the public will step up and say, and they should be given that opportunity, and they're not. In the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's four or five, six maybe people who make that decision. And quite honestly, you know, if they suddenly put us in the Hall of Fame, I'd go up and collect the award for Keith and Greg, but, you know, I would put it on eBay and raise some money and give it to charity. I really would.
That makes sense to me. And by the way, I'm not telling you anything new. You're one of the greatest drummers of all time, and you're still doing it. How do you stay in shape to be able to drum the amazing movement you do? It's astounding to me.
Oh, well, I'm just very, very lucky. I mean, to tell you the truth, about 4 weeks ago, I had a heart operation, in actual fact. I had what they call an ablation to correct what they call atrial fibrillation, which is an irregular heartbeat. I was in and out on the same day, but it is a 3-hour operation, and, you know, it's quite serious. over the years, I've had a couple of things. I've had carpal tunnel in both wrists. I've had problems, you know, there's no doubt. But I have never really abused myself. You know, the wear and tear that's happened in my body is basically through work or through exercise or, you know, whatever. It's not never been through being excessive with drugs or drink. I mean, I've never drunk a pint of beer or had a lager.
Wow.
I've never even had a bottle of beer or smoked a cigarette. I mean, listen, I've drunk plenty of wine in my life, and yes, I've taken the odd sort of I've taken the odd joint, you know, that's for sure. That always happens. But, you know, I have been very, very careful because I do enjoy playing, and music is really important to me, and I just want to play as long as I possibly can, you know, and with this technology that's out today has enabled me to play longer, and with two great guys who are great musicians, super, super talented. So the least I can do is look after myself so I can play along with them still. So
well,
I'm very grateful for what I've got and what I've received.
Well, we certainly do appreciate it. Man, I could probably take up hours of your time asking you questions about things of the past. But Carl Palmer, my pleasure. I am so honored to be able to talk with, to me, one of the great rock gods in my past. So thank you so much for your time, and good luck with this show. I can't wait to catch it.
Fantastic, Gary, and thanks for the time. I very much appreciate it. You take care.
Thanks.